WIRI Nakusa. The heart of Wisconsin's home for a huge variety of country favorites. This is Country Legends 24/7.
Turned 18. We lived in a one-room run-down shack on the outskirts of New Orleans. We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least. We were hard-pressed. Then Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing dress. Well, Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and she painted my eyes and lips. Then I stepped into a satin dancing dress that had a split from the side clean up to my hip. It was red velvet trimming and it fitting me good. Standing back from the looking glass, there stood a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. She said, here she wants chance, fancy, don't let me down. She said, here she wants chance, fancy, don't let me down. Mama dad, a little bit of perfume on my neck, then she kissed my cheek. And then I saw the tears welling up in her troubled eyes as she started to speak. She looked at a pitiful shack and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. She said, your paw's run off and I'm real sick and the baby's gonna starve to death. She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said to thine own self be true. And I shivered as I watched a roach crawl across the toe of my high-heeled shoe. It sounded like somebody else who was talking, asking, Mama, what do I do? She said, just be nice to the gentleman fancy, they'll be nice to you. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Lord, forgive me for what I do, but if you won't have it, it's up to you. Now don't let me down, now your mama's gonna move you uptown. Well, that was the last time I saw my mom, and I left that rickety shack. Welfare people came and took the baby. Mama died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate started to turn, and for me there was no way out. It wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mama been talking about. I knew what I had to do when I made myself this solemn vow. I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when or how. But I couldn't see spending the rest of my life. I might have been born just plain white trash, but fancy was my name. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Oh, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Lord, forgive me for what I do, but if you won't have one, it's up to you. Now don't let me down, honey, your mama's gonna move you uptown. Well, I guess you did.
Palm of her hand, I'm hers. In a blink of an eye, she don't take no get to catch all her secrets. Sequins bouncing off flashing lights. If she wants it, then we're leaving. Getting me home, park the truck, cut the tires. I get to be where she goes when she's lonely. The last door of the night she's closing. Oh, I know she could have anything, but she wants my hands on her body. She wants to burn like she's made of fire. Said she ain't going home till we drink every drop of Kentucky Dry. Don't even know what she'll do when she does it. Palm of her hand, I'm hers in a blink of an eye. She don't take no, and I love she gets what she wants, and I get to be what she wants to know. And I don't know how I got to be the only thing she needs right now. She wants my hands on her body. She wants to burn like she's made of fire. Said she ain't going home till we drink every drop of Kentucky Dry. Don't even know what she'll do when she does it. Palm of her hand, I'm hers in a blink of an eye. She don't take no, and I love what she wants, and I get to be what she wants tonight. I get to be what she wants tonight. Yeah. I get to be what she wants tonight.
I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. And denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend a friend would like to have. And all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went three times that year, I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. And I looked deeper and I spoke sweeter and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like dying. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. You What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain.
Country in the heart of Wisconsin. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
Says she's had enough of me. I've had enough of her too. I might as well go on and set her free. She's already turned me loose. No fault, no blame, nobody done no wrong. That's just the way it sometimes goes. Sometimes two people just don't get along. And it's time to hit the road. Goodbye, farewell. Vaya con Dios, good luck. Wish you well. Take it slow. Easy come, go. Easy go. Tried to work it out 100 times. 99, it didn't work. I think it's best we put it all behind before we wind up getting hurt. No hard feelings, darling, no regrets. No tears and no broken hearts. Call it quits, calling off all bets. It just wasn't in the cards. Goodbye, farewell, so long. Vaya con Dios, good luck. Wish you well. Take it slow. Easy come, girl. Easy go. Vaya con
lose my mind if I face one day on my own. I knew I was saved the night that she gave this drifter's heart a home. Every night I should be on my knees. Lord knows how lucky I am. I'll never say it near enough. Thank God for this woman, amen. This world has a way of shaking your faith. I've been broken again and again, but I need all the cracks in my shattered heart, 'cause that's where her love gets in. Every night I should be on my knees. Lord knows how lucky I am. I'll never say it near enough. Thank God for this woman, amen. She gives me faith. She gives me grace. She gives me hope. She gives me strength. She gives me love. Stars up above, forgiveness of sin and your undying love. Every twist, every turn for the way you made sure all my roads led to her. So tonight I will fall.
I get cold and hot, think I'm on fire, but I'm not. Oh, what a pain I've got. It must be love. There's nothing I can do. All that I want is you. Look what I'm going through. It must be love.
It must be love. It must be love. I fall like a sparrow and fly like a dove. You must be the dream I've been dreaming of. Oh, what a feeling, it must be love.
Something is wrong, all right, I think of you all night. Can't sleep till morning light, it must be love. Seeing you in my dreams, holding you close to me. Oh, what else can it be? It must be love.
It must be love, it must be love. I fall like a sparrow and fly like a dove. You must be the dream I've been dreaming of. Oh, what a feeling, it must be love. I fall like a sparrow and fly like a dove. You must be the dream I've been dreaming of. Oh, what a feeling, it must be love. It must be love, it must be love. I fall like a sparrow and fly like a dove. You must be the dream I've been dreaming of. Oh,
town's been telling me I've done some things I never did. Yeah, the grapevine starts with a glass of wine and you take in a sip. Every word that you're saying is another step to my reputation, and I can't take it anymore. But you've opened that door. Yeah, there's two sides to every breakup. One's a lie and one's the truth. One of them went down and one was made up. But in the end, we both lose. Why can't we meet in the middle? Call it even, call it truce. If you quit telling lies about me, I won't tell the truth about you. Saw me get a text to make yourself feel better that you still talk to your ex. Yeah, you told your friends, you told your mama that I'm the root of all the drama. But we both know why this ended. Girl, I caught you red-handed. Yeah, there's two sides to every breakup.
Sometimes late at night, I lie awake and watch her sleeping. She's lost in peaceful dreams, so I turn out the lights and lay there in the dark. And a thought crosses my mind. If I never wake up in the morning, would she ever doubt the way I feel about her in my heart? If tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I love? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth were through, she must face this world without me. Is the love I gave her in the past gonna be enough to last? If tomorrow never comes, 'cause I've lost loved ones in my life who never knew how much I loved them. Now I live with the regret that my true feelings for them never were revealed. So I made a promise to myself to say today how much she means to me. And avoid that circumstance where there's no second chance to tell her how I feel. 'Cause if tomorrow never comes, will she know how much I loved her? Did I try in every way to show her every day that she's my only one? And if my time on earth were through, she must face this world without me. Is the love I gave her in the past gonna be enough to last if tomorrow never comes? So tell that someone that you love just what you're thinking of if tomorrow never comes.
Country Pride, Central Wisconsin wide. Country Legends 24/7. 105.5 FM.
Hadn't had a good time since you know when. Got talked into going out with hopes you were staying in. I was feeling like myself for the first time in a long time, till I bumped into some of your friends over there talking to mine. Then you rolled in with your hair in the wind, baby, without warning. I was doing alright, but just your sight had my heart storming. The moon went high and stars quit shining, rain was driving thunder. Talking about us again. And if I would have just laid my drink down and walked out, well, I wouldn't be in my truck driving us to your house. But you rolled in with your hair in the wind, maybe without warning. I was doing alright, but just your side had my heart stolen. The moon
you hit me like a hurricane. Your forecast for you and your community. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We love Wisconsin weather and tracking it to keep you updated whenever it changes. Listen for our weather-ready stories so you're always prepared on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Visit the Southwood County Historical Museum for Wisconsin's John Muir, a traveling exhibit presented by the Wisconsin Historical Society. Check out this display for free from 1 to 4 p.m. on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays through May 30th. The exhibit explores Muir's youth in Wisconsin, his advocacy for national parks, and his views on environmental issues such as logging, hunting, and climate change. If it's happening in the heart of Wisconsin, it's on 105.5 FM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Justice Department announced changes to its voting rights information and violation reporting page on April 17th, including a new guide on voting-related language assistance and a video explaining how to report voter intimidation. The updated page, justice.gov/voting, includes voting rights guides on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act and other voting laws, access for voters with disabilities, election monitoring, state voting rules for people with criminal convictions, and several other topics. New in this update is an explainer on voter intimidation, including what constitutes threats, obstruction, or deliberately false information about the time, manner, or place of voting to prevent people from casting their ballots. A companion video explains how to report intimidation to the DOJ. Another new section gives guidance on Section 203 of the Voting Rights Act on accommodations for non-English speaking voters, referred to as language minority citizens. This group includes Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, Native Americans, and Alaskan Natives. An existing guide concerning federal constraints on post-election audits was also updated, as well as the DOJ's guide to voting under the Americans with Disabilities Act and other federal rules. Instructions and points of contact for reporting voting rights violations are also listed. We have a link to justice.gov/voting at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
CBS News Brief. It's another day of cleanup in Tornado Alley after twisters leveled homes and other buildings in Nebraska and Iowa. Weather Channel meteorologist Felicia Combs says there could be more today from Texas to Michigan.
Not only are we worried about very large hail, tornadoes, damaging wind gusts, but also that possibility for flash flooding across this region before all is said and done this weekend.
Israeli protesters are demanding their government get the Hamas hostages home now. The BBC's Anna Foster says an Egyptian delegation has been in Israel.
We're sort of led to believe the briefings are that perhaps they're moving slightly closer in terms of trying to achieve a deal.
Secretary of State Blinken is expected to fly back to the Middle East tomorrow. At last night's White House Correspondents' Dinner, President Biden pokes fun at himself and rival Donald Trump.
My vice president actually endorses me.
On social media, Trump has called Mr. Biden's monologue a disaster. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
James here, host of the new Sunrise Show on Wis Country 105.5 WIRI. We're on the air live every weekday from 7 to 8 a.m. to start your day right with...
More Garth! More Reba!
Winona!
Yeah, but also the National Day of Calendar.
Brooks and Dunn!
Country news.
Brooks and Dunn!
This day in country history and your requests, plus the country legends.
More Garth! More Reba!
That you know and love. It's coffee, conversation, and country. Every weekday from 7 to 8 on 105.5 WIRI, Wiscountry.
Winona.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Imagine having your wisdom teeth extracted by a dentist. Not exactly a pleasant thought, but... what if that procedure led you to an opioid addiction?
Patients in that age range who were previously unexposed to opioids and who got a first opioid prescription, about 6% wound up being given a diagnosis relating to opioid misuse or abuse.
Then, living life and running a household takes time and labor. But one expert says we can do much better by doing less.
The kind of work that managers and secretaries, also known as admins, do in the workplace for pay, but that all of us do invisibly and for free in our own lives.
Those two interviews and more are coming your way on this week's show. InfoTrack begins right after this.
Free. Who doesn't love free? With Milo's rewards, you get the member-only treatment that's actually worth it. Enjoy free member gifts you'll love. And once you reach Silver Key status, you can get free standard shipping. Because Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Learn more about our new loyalty program at Lowe's.com/Milo's rewards today. Program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Member gifts may be subject to additional terms and restrictions. See Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details. Subject to change.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Thousands of teens and young adults have their wisdom teeth extracted each year. But according to research, a significant number of them end up addicted to opioid painkillers. Here with the story, InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Who knew that when young people have oral surgery to remove wisdom teeth, they might be at a higher risk for continuing to use opioids or even getting hooked on them? But that's the takeaway from a new study by the Stanford University School of Medicine. Joining us now is Dr. Alan Schroeder, clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford and the study's lead author. Doctor, your study examined nearly 15,000 teens and young adults who received an opioid prescription for pain after getting their wisdom teeth removed. You looked to see if they would stop using opioids after their initial prescription ran out. What did you find?
We actually just looked at opioid prescriptions from dental providers in an age range, 16 to 25, where wisdom teeth extractions account for the large majority of opioid prescriptions. And we found that patients in that age range who were previously unexposed to opioids and who got a first opioid prescription, about 7% of them wound up continuing to use opioids at least 3 months later. And about 6% wound up being given a diagnosis relating to opioid misuse or abuse.
How would you characterize the seriousness of that finding?
With a caveat being that this is, you know, we used an insurance claims database, which has some inherent limitations. If the findings are indeed true, it's fairly alarming that this exposure to opioids, particularly given the current opioid crisis, that initial exposure to opioids could result in subsequent misuse or abuse in 1 in 16 or so patients.
And your study revealed particular results about the youngest teens and females. What did you discover?
Yes, there was a slightly higher risk of persistent use in patients that were in the 16 to 18 age ranges compared to the slightly older group. What was somewhat unexpected was to see a fairly large difference in the subsequent diagnosis of abuse in females as opposed to males.
And you did have a technique, I understand, to screen out patients who might have already been using opioids, didn't you?
Exactly. So we excluded anyone who had had an opioid prescription in the prior 12 months. We also excluded patients who had had any diagnosis relating to opioid abuse in the prior 12 months. It's not a perfect way to establish that these were completely opioid naive patients. I suspect not 100% of them were, but given the confines of the data set, which the advantages of such a data set is that it provides information on a large number of patients, but given some of the limitations, it was the best that we could do.
There are reports that some young people who got wisdom teeth removed, and perhaps not part of your study at all, but still reports that they turned to street drugs and there was at least one death. Doctor, can we conclude that the opioid prescriptions and subsequent abuse could potentially create a pathway to street drugs like heroin or even death?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some of the pushback to our study has been people saying, well, the deaths are caused by heroin and fentanyl that comes, you know, shipped in from other countries and not from prescription pain pills. But the point here is that at some point, the exposure has to start somewhere. And we are seem to be learning more and more that opioids to generally healthy people who undergo some form of procedure or have an injury, that there is this link with persistent use. And so we did not find any association with death, but we only had a year of follow-up. And so it was beyond the aim of our study to really look at downstream effects years later. But you can imagine that we've heard from a number of people since this was published describing what it is that you're asking, which is that there may have been initial exposure with a prescription opioid that then leads to subsequent use of street drugs.
We're visiting with Dr. Alan Schroeder, a clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford, on a new report concerning opioid use among young people who have received prescriptions after wisdom tooth removal. Your study showed that often patients were prescribed 20 pills, which is almost three a day for 7 days. Is the 7-day duration a major problem? For example, would 2 or 3 days worth of pills reduce the risk?
Yeah, I think there are many experts out there now that would say 0 days is sufficient. There are a number of non-opioid pain relievers, particularly NSAIDs like ibuprofen, that have been shown to be effective for controlling the pain after dental procedures. And the American Dental Association has really taken great steps to try to disseminate that information over the last couple of years. So 20 pills for wisdom teeth extraction does seem like too much and raises the concern of, you know, this large bottle of pills now that is sitting around unused and may lead to subsequent recreational use in the patient themselves and or diversion to friends and family.
And the other drugs you mentioned, the point being is they are not as potentially addictive as opioids, isn't that it?
That's correct.
What advice would you give parents on talking with a doctor about controlling a child's pain appropriately after wisdom tooth removal?
There are two things. The first is if you have to have a dental procedure such as wisdom teeth extractions, really talking about non-opioid pain control strategies following the procedure, that can be tricky because you may not know at the time whether you will need a couple of pills. But if you're going to get some prescriptions, I think parents can very carefully monitor opioid use and really make sure that the minimal amount necessary is prescribed. But I think the other lesson is for any surgical procedure that may require opioids, we really make sure that that's included in the risk-benefit calculation for the procedure itself. And for wisdom teeth extractions, these are far and away the most common surgical procedure done in adolescents and young adults. And we don't have like a lot of great evidence to support the frequency with which that procedure is currently conducted in this country. So it'd be nice to see more research on that front as well to flesh out the risk-benefit profile a little bit better.
You talked about the parents monitoring the opioid use, if there are any. Would you go so far as to say that parents should actively hide these medicines when the children are not taking them?
Yeah, it's a complicated question. And, you know, we're talking about patients for opioids. It tends to be adolescents and young adults. And oftentimes they are young adults and we have to respect their autonomy and independence. And so I think that probably should be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And ideally, you get the patient on board with a pain management plan and make sure that the patient understands the concerns themselves.
Dr. Alan Schroeder, clinical professor of pediatrics at Stanford University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
Next, how you can live better and be happier by doing a lot less. That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage. A bottle of Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner can help your engine get more MPGs. Right now, when you buy one bottle, you can get one bottle free. A great deal to help you go a great deal farther. Find Chevron Techron and everything you need for better fuel efficiency at any one of our 6,300 stores.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Living our lives in modern society takes a lot of time and effort, but our next guest says she learned how to do less and in the process created a better life for herself. Elizabeth Emmons is a professor of law at Columbia Law School and author of Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Professor, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about what your life was like before you figured all this out.
Glad to be here. You know, looking back, there was a moment soon after my second child was born where I realized that I was completely overwhelmed. I knew parenting would come with a lot of hard work and, you know, a lot of joy too, but I didn't realize it would come with this invisible layer of office work. You know, the kind of work that managers and secretaries, also known as admins, do in the workplace for pay, but that all of us do invisibly and for free in our own lives. And so I didn't want to just write about me and my friends, so I set about doing interviews and brainstorming sessions to try to understand this life admin, this office work of life, and try to figure out how we could make it better as a society as well as individuals.
So is this about streamlining the way you do things? Explain a little bit, what is life admin? Because it's a very intriguing idea.
Well, life admin is this set of tasks. It's both the managerial side of life, the decision-making, and the paperwork and details side of life that hits us on a daily basis, but also particularly around big life events, both happy ones like a wedding or a new baby, and also especially around really painful ones like a death in the family or a divorce or an ailing child or parent or one's own inexplicable illness. And it can really clobber us right when we're hoping to either enjoy this moment in life or get through it when it's really painful. And so we've got a lot of different approaches that we can take to this, and they do vary for us as individuals. I found 4 main admin personalities in my research. There's a quiz at the back of the book to try to figure out your own admin personality. And those personalities help lead us to particular strategies that we can use to better tackle admin and live with it.
Let's talk about these four different admin personalities. You have Super Doer, and I guess we all know somebody who just seems to have this incredible power to get everything done. Talk about that a little bit. Is that something you're born with, or is that something you learn?
One bright spot in my research was I interviewed a number of people who had really become super doers through energy and sheer force of will, and I detail what they have done. But it's interesting, the four personalities sound like a hierarchy, but actually we can learn from all of them. So they're the super doer, the reluctant doer, the admin avoider, and the admin denier. And the first two are getting it done, and the last two aren't so much. But the differences are really in how they feel about it, which then feed into everything else. So the super doer is getting it done and feeling pretty good about it. The reluctant doer is doing it, but really wishes they didn't have to. And that's usually been my center of gravity. And then the admin avoider is someone who's not doing it, but feels bad, either guilty towards whoever is doing it, or, you know, embarrassed. Even I heard the word shame, big words like shame, from some of my interviewees who are avoiders over the stuff that's falling apart around this. And the denier is not doing it, but feeling pretty good because the denier's luckily been somebody who's been able to have somebody else do it for them kind of seamlessly and invisibly.
And you're a professor of law, which obviously adds quite a layer of complexity to your life. But did any of that apply to this whole process of life admin and learning how to do that?
Absolutely. So I first started writing this as a legal article, law review article, the way I usually do. And I had, you know, a lot of ideas for how we could improve things through law and markets. And I started presenting it around the country and overseas as I do in my work. And I found that people were responding so intensely and personally, coming up and saying, oh my gosh, I've never read a legal article that so perfectly described my life, or how did you see into my mind and my marriage? And so that's how I realized I needed to take this out more broadly to try to spread the message, starting with the visibility of this life admin, which really makes a difference because when we don't see it, it sticks and it lands on us and stays there.
We're talking with Elizabeth Emmons, author of Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. We're also very technology-oriented these days with social media and digital devices. How has this affected our ability to manage our lives?
Well, technology can help sometimes, but in many ways, technology is really killing us. Technology is part of the reason why Life Admin now can reach us with a frequency and pace and intrusiveness that it never could before. You know, everybody knows that your email inbox is full and backlogged, so now they text you their requests instead. And so it's constant 24/7. The other thing about the technology is that it's part of what makes Life Admin invisible, because nobody can tell whether you're texting on your phone playing a game or a friend, or if you're texting the babysitter or the landlord about the broken pipes.
You write about people who are below the poverty line and how they have an extra set of burdens on them. How can they help themselves in this regard? Because they obviously have many fewer resources than the average person.
Absolutely. Poverty admin is differently and more challenging than the admin of means, both because the stakes are higher, you know, so if you have money to do it, you can ignore your snail mail for a week or more. If you're on public benefits, delays in your admin can lead to losing your home. And it's much harder to do the office work of life without an actual office and office equipment. Some of the changes that we need with regard to admin are ones that would affect everyone, starting with the fact that we need simple tax returns. There are a lot of countries in the world where what you get at tax time is a pre-filled tax return because the government has the information already. That's what they use to check the returns that we spend our precious time filling out. And so we could have pre-filled returns if there hadn't been lobbying against that. If we can make Life Admin visible, this will be one of the kinds of changes that I'm hoping that we can actually push through against the interests in the prepared tax preparation technologies that exist and that make money off of doing our admin for us in this way.
Our guest is Professor Elizabeth Emmons, and we're talking about her book, Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Can you share a story about someone who applied these techniques and really changed their life for the better?
I interviewed a widow who, after her husband died, she realized that he had been doing all this invisible work that she didn't see or appreciate or know anything about, and she was not naturally good at these things. And so she set about organizing her life. She simplified. That's one strategy of super doers, is downscaling your life in various ways. If you can do that, she moved from a house into an apartment where there were people who could help out with the things in life, and she didn't have a lawn to take care of. She had also a daughter who, when she was young, her daughter had almost been kicked out of school because she was so disorganized. She would do her homework and then she would lose it. She would get lost going to class. And her parents got her help, and she focused on executive functioning admin, and she got great at organizing. And now when the family goes on a trip, she's the one they all turn to when they're trying to figure out where to go. She says, well, the sun's over there, so that's east, so I guess we're going this way. And they all say, oh my gosh, she got it. Now, not every family has the means to do all the things that she did, but we need admin ed in school.